Purple, the 3Wide Podcast with EG3 will be right back.
Buckle up. The 3Wide Podcast is on the air. In-depth analysis between the three biggest divisions in NASCAR. The Gander Outdoor Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and the NASCAR Cup Series. And now, the green flag flies from the Little Apple in Manhattan, Kansas. Podcasting to the world. It's the 3Wide Podcast with EG3. Here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. My name is Eddie Greer III, here in Manhattan, Kansas, as usual for this NASCAR Podcast covering the Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and of course the NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest divisions in all of motorsports. Recording on Wednesday. Usually I record these things a little bit later on in the week, but a spot opened July 20th, 2022, episode 304 of the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. Before I bring on my reoccurring special guest on this podcast, of course, you can find the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast wherever you get your podcast, whether that is Spotify, iTunes, Odyssey, and a couple more podcasting platforms out there. The 3Wide NASCAR Podcast. We are coming up closer and closer to the end of the regular season, and things are getting even crazier by the week. It's just like Jeff Gluck said, I just don't know what's going to happen week to week now. And as we got another new winner in 2022 in Christopher Bell, before we get into that, let me introduce you guys once again to a special guest. Well, shouldn't be a special guest anymore because I haven't counted, but I think now you lead the special guest occurrences on this podcast. I'm talking about AJ from what used to be the Loose Lugs Podcast. Now it is the One Lug TV from the YouTube channel. None other than AJ. AJ, what's going on?
Eddie, can I just get you to introduce me into every room I walk into? I mean, you are too kind, my friend.
maybe I can do that for you.
It's like a wrestling thing, man. You just introduce me where I'm from, and just exactly like that. That was perfect.
Well, I appreciate that. Appreciate that. Well, on the last episode of the podcast, which was, 303, I talked about the Xfinity Series while it was still going on during the Xfinity Series race on Saturday. We'll probably touch on that later maybe, but this is mostly going to be focused on Cup tonight on this edition of the podcast. But before I obviously get into the recap of New Hampshire, which had its own twists and turns, we have more twists and turns, folks. Obviously, we were supposed to record, me and you were supposed to record on Monday, and there was some missed communication. That's probably my fault. I take blame for that.
You were supposed to call me. I was supposed to call you.
Yeah. It just all got twisted up. But good thing I waited till tonight, because this was not really a surprise, given to the fact that obviously the Teardown podcast with Jeff Gluck, Jordan Bianchi talked about this. This was kind of been going on for quite some time, and it happened yesterday. It got announced that Chicago getting its own street course. Did we talk? I'm trying to think back to, like, you were on here before the season started. I'm trying to think back, did we mention the Chicago race or not? I can't remember that far, but it's going down next year, and it takes the place of Road America. AJ, what are your thoughts about it?
Oh man, I'm really negative on this one. I'm going to be completely honest. I don't think we need any more road courses. I think it's great that we're trying to broadcast and branch out to, you know, different markets and different types of fans and things of that nature. However, one, I think we're going to the wrong place in Chicago. We should still be going to Chicagoland, to be perfectly honest with you. And just number two, a street course, it's not like it hasn't been done in NASCAR before. I think the first one, before either of us were even thought of. I just don't know how it's going to handle. They tried to test this on iRacing, and it really wasn't good then. And losing Road America is, to me, the worst part of it all, is because that's been one of your better road course races.
Yeah.
I'm way on the negative side on this one.
Yeah, it sucks for Road America, unfortunately. Yeah, I like the road course racing up there in Wisconsin. The fans are coming out, obviously, July 4th, whatnot, and everything that comes around that. There's some negative about the lack of cautions and whatnot, but yeah, I just don't know. Yeah, I'm kind of 50-50 on this. I don't know how I feel about it until... Go ahead.
We were at the perfect racetrack for July 4th weekend. It doesn't get any more American than racing at Road America.
Yeah.
You know?
That makes perfect sense, yeah. And so from Daytona, then it used to be Daytona, and then they moved to Road America, which everyone was excited about. And now you get that replaced with Chicago. Yeah. and he lost Chicagoland a couple years ago now. So, yeah, I'm 50-50 about it. And I haven't checked out, they put up a road course layout and whatnot. I didn't see what they did on the simulator with Chicago, with the Chicago street course and whatnot. Yeah. I'm kind of here and here on it, so I don't know how I feel about it there.
And Eddie, I would love to see what this car can do on Chicago at Chicagoland Speedway. The way that the mile and a half racing's been with the next gen cars outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
I think it could have given it new life there.
Yeah, I think I'll probably relate this to Kansas, because Kansas and Chicagoland are pretty similar. When I went up to Kansas, when the Cup Series was here in Kansas a couple months ago, the racing was absolutely fun to watch, including the race for the win. You had multiple grooves, kind of like Chicagoland had. You saw the battle for the lead. Kyle Larson tried to do a slide job on Kurt Busch. That didn't work out there. Multiple grooves. Yeah. I think if Chicagoland was still in the schedule, you probably would have saw more of that there. Bring it back. I'm not claiming for it, but yeah, I'm with you on that. I'm very intrigued, because I think that new car could have put on a show in Chicagoland. I don't know what we'll do with the how it's going to fare out, and that's kind of the 50-50 thing with this car on how that's going to pass. With the street layout, that's yeah.
I'm full of size, man. That's what it is. I'm hoping it's a 1 year thing, to be perfectly honest with you. But I think someone said it was multi-year. So, they better hope this first one goes over well, because if you can't get it off on the right foot on the first go around, it's not long for the schedule.
Yeah, it won't be long, because this day and age, especially with social media, yeah, you're going to be in serious trouble if this doesn't work out. So, yeah, that's kind of the big news that dropped yesterday there. So, Chicago Street Course will replace Road America. Road America, only 2 years on a Cup schedule? Yeah, I think that's right.
They deserve longer.
Yeah, they need at least a little bit longer than that. Interesting. So, we'll have to see how that card plays out. Meanwhile, before the weekend at New Hampshire last weekend, Tyler Reddick coming off that win at, speaking of Road America, his first win at Road America, and I bet Tyler Reddick is pretty sad that Road America's off his schedule. He went ahead and signed for the future, 2024, with 2311 Racing, and there was a lot of positive, a lot of negative behind it, especially and particularly with Richard Childress Racing, not very happy with Tyler going ahead and making that decision to sign somewhere else.
There. Eddie, it came at a very inopportune time. I'm sorry, I'm quote tweeting the RCR release after that. This has come at an inopportune time.
Oh.
Reddick moving to 2311 is a great move for his career. I mean, 2311 is a team that's on its way up. RCR without Tyler Reddick is trending down. Austin Dillon's not really that front-running driver for a race team.
He's not.
I will say he's a good driver. I just don't. One, RCR's cars aren't there, and Tyler Reddick's making something out of that.
Yeah.
And him moving over to 2311, whether it be to replace Kurt Busch, whether it be a three-car team, I think it's a great career move for him. I think this opens the door for a lot of younger guys who don't have cup rides yet to finally get their foot in the door, get some seasons under their belts, and see what happens. I think in the long run, this benefits both parties. I know RCR is going to hurt without Tyler Reddick, but this is just one of those chances, again, to get some new blood into the sport.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely agree with Tyler Reddick's been leading the RCR brigade since he's gotten there. Austin Dillon, yeah, he's not the lead driver. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think some podcast I listened to recently said, I can't think of who said this, but I think it was one of the fan questions or something like that, but I can't think of who said it, but I think someone said that the three should have been retired.
You can't retire car numbers. Like, you only have your zeros to 99. And I say zeros as in, like, 01, 02, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. This is a situation where everyone was saying for the three to go to a different driver or something like that, and it's not going to because it's been Austin Dillon's number forever.
Right, yeah.
Since he started racing, and his grandfather owns the company. It's not going to happen.
Yep. Tyler Reddick got the win. 5 top 5s, 7 top 10s, and he's sitting, according to the playoff standings, if the playoffs were to start this week, he'll be 11th ranked in the playoffs, and Austin Dillon will be out of the playoffs. But obviously, we have 6 races to go, and Austin Dillon is the 4th driver out right now. Obviously, as we've seen the last couple weeks, especially this past weekend, things could change week to week there. Obviously, the bigger fish looming with Daytona, the regular season finale. Oh, that's going to be something with everything on the line then. But yeah, Tyler Reddick led that company. And yeah, I think you got to be looking out for your future. So get it out of the way. And that way you don't have to worry about it. Yeah, and 2311 has been rolling here, especially lately. I like the projector that they're going right now. Obviously, a lot's been made about the Toyotas throughout the year, where they don't have speed at some places or not. But lately, they have a lot of speed there. So Kurt Busch leading the charge there. Bubba Wallace had a great day on Sunday there. So yeah, I like the move there. And it's interesting because Kurt Busch could set up for Kurt Busch's last year next year there as well. Obviously, Bubba Wallace is the face since he started that program. So I would think they will stay with him and Kurt Busch. That pretty much sets him up in a perfect world anyways to get one more season before handing off the reins to Tyler Reddick. Or Denny Hamlin might have something else up his sleeve and get another team started. But yeah.
I tell you what, the longer this goes on, the 18's got to find a ride. That driver in the 18's got to start making some career moves here soon. So
Yep, that's a perfect transition. Yeah, Kyle Busch, yeah. Joe Gibbs Racing. Joe Gibbs Racing, what they're waiting on in the latest reading that I read or press release or whatever on ESPN, I think it came from that Joe Gibbs is still talking with Kyle Busch about next year and whatnot. Yeah, big of the ball rolling on that. Tyler Reddick, I guess you can say the first shoe to drop in silly season is Tyler Reddick. Now we're still waiting on what Kyle Busch is going to do. Yeah, I better not wait too long to see what it is. Obviously, M&M's, they're not coming back, unfortunately, moving forward. So, yeah, that's kind of the big question now. Where is Rowdy going to land? Will it be back in with Joe Gibbs Racing? Or I just don't see anywhere else open. You got the Eric Almirola ride for Stuart Haas Racing. Eric Almirola's going to be retired at the end of the year. So
I think that hangs in the balance, Eddie, because if you remember, just last week they were saying that Eric Almirola hasn't made an official decision yet on whether he was retiring or not after the season.
He might have
cold feet. I really think what they're waiting on is to find out what happens here with the whole Joe Gibbs situation. And that's a potential landing spot for Kyle if something falls through with Gibbs.
I came up on something like that on Almirola. Yeah, I kind of forgot about that there. So, yeah, Eric Almirola did, for those of you who kind of forgot, did say early before the year started that this was going to be his last full-time year in NASCAR. And then, yeah, last week he said, hold up.
I got sick of the Brett Favre.
Or Tom Brady, for that matter.
Hey. That's a bad word in my house now.
Oh, it is.
Hey, you know what? The man brought me happiness for 20 years when he played for New England. I let him win his one Super Bowl, like, as a fan, like, supporting him. Now it's like, dude, just go. Just go away.
Yeah. That's a whole other conversation there. Yeah, so Almirola, that's up in the air. Kyle Busch, yeah, other than that, there's not anywhere else he could possibly go. So, yeah, that's the other, the Almirola thing, yeah, that's a big one. So, we'll see. I don't know, obviously, we'll be in the know for sure. When we know about it from the folks who cover the sport of the Cup side of things there. So, yeah, a lot of big news dropped last couple of weeks, that's for sure there. New Hampshire. Now turn attention there. This is the 3Y NASCAR podcast with EG3. EG3 hanging out with AJ once again here on another edition of this podcast. And another new winner. 14th new winner of 2022. Christopher Bell getting the job done late over Chase Elliott, who was beating himself up after the race was over. Despite running well the last, handful of races now? Like, four or five times now he's finished, first or second. So
the trend right now is 1-2-1-2. So that means the 9 wins at Pocono this weekend. Make that your bet.
That won't be a bad play at all. Way that pattern's going right now. That's for sure there. But Chris, the bigger picture here, Christopher Bell becomes the 14th driver now. And like Dale Jarrett, I've been in the camp, 16 winners. More likely, let's get 17, and let's have all chaos convene, right?
But, Eddie, right now, are you really wanting 17 different winners right now, Eddie?
hey, if Martin can win, he's far enough in points that he'll be okay. If he can get that, that's a big if, but given the last couple of weeks, look, Ryan Blaney hasn't won. He's third in points. Martin Truex hasn't won yet. Fourth in points, which is crazy. Kevin Harvick's eighth in points. Still hasn't won yet. He hasn't won in a very long time. He's now 68 points back, and then flipping back to my standing sheet here. Speaking of Almirola, he's next one back. Then Eric Jones, Austin Dillon. Yeah, so I'll be asking that question to the ones that are kind of trending along that lines of the one that has the least, the win, the one that has the only one win that's closer to that. I'll be feeling the pressure if I was one of those guys. Like, I don't have the full standings up here right now. I think, I want to say Briscoe is the last one. That's the one win. I'm not 100% sure about that. I know it's really tight. I know for that much, because Jeff Gluck did look back at the point standings in like 5-4 and like 8. So I know those guys gotta be sweating bullets right now as well. But yeah, I mean this is gonna get even interesting here. Christian Bell coming into this race, he needed to win to get in, and it was going to be between Kevin Harvick and Christopher Bell. Harvick finishing the top 10. He's the biggest loser in this. And then Christopher Bell, I honestly didn't know where he came from, to be honest with you. I know he ran in the back end of the top 10 for most of the day, and all of a sudden, bam, he's right up front. I mean, oh, there he is.
It was the same race he ran last year. He just couldn't get past Almirola. Last year, you got to remember, it was kind of the same exact way. He just showed up out of nowhere, had a good car at the end of the run, just couldn't get past Almirola with that oddly shortened New Hampshire race that we all remembered pretty well from last year.
Mm-hmm. But
Bell came on strong, and I think I tweeted it, even as a 9 fan, it's like, once Bell got to us and got around us, I knew that was it. Like, nothing you could do there,
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm more thankful that we didn't get hit in the rear by the 22 or the 45 there late in the race.
Yeah, that last restart. Yeah, that restart was, well, actually, I go back even a little bit further than that. The last pit stop, which turned out to be the last pit stop of the race, there, decision time there. You got guys staying out. Like Logano, and I believe Kurt Busch also stayed out. One more car did stay out as well. I can't remember who that car was. I know Logano, Kurt Busch stayed out.
Guys, Suarez, I think.
You might be right on that. Yeah, Suarez, I think you're right on that. Guys taking no tires. Guys took 4. Guys took 2. Truex took 2 tires, which was the wrong call on that. And then the restart happened, and then he got bottled up there a few times there, which really cost him there. And then, obviously, the ones that stayed out set sail. And then, yeah, the battle for the lead was incredible to watch, actually, between the 9 and the 20 there, battling out there. And then, yeah, Christopher Bell just came out of nowhere, just like last year, on a stronger run, just took off. And once he got the lead, it was a wrap. Unless a caution came out.
Clean air is
king. It is with this car for sure. So Bell gets the win. That is his second win in the Cup Series, because you gotta remember back to last year he won on the Daytona Road Course. So yeah, it's been a minute since the 21 a race, and now he's the 14th driver to punch his ticket in for the time being. Kind of bouncing around the finishing order here. Speaking of 23-11, I mentioned Bubba Wallace a few moments ago. Best run by far. qualified 4th, I think. That's right. Yeah, qualified 4th and finished 3rd. Great run for him. Scored stage points in both stages there. Ended up with a good finish there. But obviously, Jeff Gluck put it, obviously, for Bubba for first. First off, Bubba, for him to get that, that's big. Moving forward, that's good momentum for him. On the flip side, Jeff Gluck and Jordan Bianchi were talking about it in their latest edition of the podcast, The Teardown, saying it's not good enough. It's, in the old days, quote-unquote, hashtag old days, the points day, if you had a really good points day, that would be the motto, right? But now,
right,
it's not. You have to get that win. So, obviously, Bubba's teammate Kurt Busch already has that win. I talked about it a few moments ago. I saw that in person at Kansas. So, Bubba Wallace now has six more races, just like the rest of them who haven't had a win yet, to get that win there. AJ, what do you think about Bubba's performance on Sunday, and can this team, and let's not forget, I haven't mentioned this yet, Bell and Wallace, they swapped a couple of crew members as well, so it kind of helped out. Obviously, you know, they struggled last week, but this week they didn't have much problems at all. I know the NBC guys, Brad Doherty and Dale Jarrett, were like right on top of the 23 team pit box the entire race. They were talking about it, so kind of a clean day for that team there.
Yeah, I like the speed I'm seeing from Bubba these last couple weeks. Last week, it was ironic enough that last week Bell had a tire issue on pit road. I mean, from what I recall hearing, it was none doing of any of the crew members that were swapped or anything like that, but I just like the direction that the 23 team's going. They're setting themselves up for potentially a win-and-in scenario, and I would see it at Daytona. I really like the odds of the 23 winning in Daytona. Mm. I think Bubba makes the playoffs this year. I do.
Yep, you and me are quite alike in that. Yeah, I like his chances as well at Daytona. He runs pretty doggone well. There, he knows how to set himself up. Late in races, he runs very well. Obviously, Daytona, Talladega. He can throw in Atlanta, the first one. Not the second one, but the first one. He was up in the mix as well. So, yeah, this is setting up pretty good for Bubba. Moving forward, obviously, you know they're going to have speed there down there in Daytona. Yeah, me and you are thinking quite alike there. Win and you're in situation there, and they definitely have the speed. It's just the fact that, obviously, the pit crew, and particularly the 23s, have been holding this team back. But it seems that they got that fixed, and going forward, I'm definitely intrigued to what Bubba does the rest of the way out, including the regular season finale, which is going to be nuts. I can just tell you that right now. It's going to be wild.
There's going to be some bold strategies being played these next 4 weeks.
Yep, for sure. You don't want to be that driver going in Daytona relying on just trying to stay out of a big one. We all know that.
I don't want to sound like a broke record, but like, I would be in a really tough position as a fan if Martin doesn't have a win by Daytona, because we all know his track record at plate races.
Yeah, it's been well documented. Well, if there is a positive side, or at least one, he's been pretty competitive this year I know it's not much of a victory, but he's been pretty competitive, especially Daytona, going back to the 500. He won both stages, but yet did not win. I can't remember what happened. I think he might've gotten, I can't remember that far, but I know you remember he won both stages, was up there, fast car, Talladega, same thing. I think he got caught up. No, he survived that one, I think. I can't remember. I know he was up. I know he finished one of those. I think Talladega, he finished top 10 somewhere. I can't remember. But yeah, his track record is not good. Hopefully, he can get that win. I think Richmond, I agree with the NBC guys and some of the podcasters, other podcasting folks. I think Richmond is his best chance to get it. Should have got it earlier the first time around. Strategy played out differently, like it always has this year in 2022. Nashville should have happened then. Bad strategy call. So you see what I'm getting at.
Hey, three things are certain on a Sunday, on a NASCAR Sunday. Ross Chastain is going to wreck somebody. A certain race team is going to spin out. I don't have to mention any names. We all know that. And for some reason, on the last stop, the 19 team is going to send their car in the complete opposite direction of where they were.
I just don't get it. I knew it. We talked a little bit off air before I hit the record button tonight. Yeah, I knew it. In the back of my head, they're going to screw this up again somewhere in there, and taking two tires. terrible decision. I think early in the race, they did take two, and they had clean air, and it was fine. But later in the race, obviously with all the rubber down and whatnot, and the track can change, right? You heard the broadcast team talk about it. You got to keep up the racetrack. Got to keep up the racetrack. And Jay Small, once again, did not do that. And, yeah, you saw the result there. But luckily, I mean, Martin did finish fourth, but, you know, it sucks we didn't get that because that was ours. And, hopefully cash in one of these next five races because I don't want to be relying on Daytona. It's just talking to many of my, obviously, my Truex friends out there. No, it's too much stressful already, so I don't want to be depending on that.
I do have one. I have one question for you, just out of curiosity.
What's up?
On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you miss Colburn?
Oh man, that's between 1 and 10. I'll probably say a 9. Obviously, he came back that one time as a race engineer at Sonoma while JGR cars were just terrible at Sonoma. Yeah, I miss him. Yeah, man. Like, most of Truex Nation out there say the same thing, but there's some others that, you know, if another crew chief was in his shoes, he'll have the same problem. I don't know. I also think that Blake Harris, the crew chief now for Michael McDowell's having a good season. By the way, not just Bubba Wallace at Daytona. Let's put Michael McDowell in the mix too at Daytona as well.
Hey, that's true too. Honestly, at that rate, you could also throw, if he can get in the top 30 in points, Corey LaJoy.
He
ran in Atlanta. Yeah, you know,
he's gonna be throwing haymakers. Yep. Yeah,
it could kind of relate in a sense.
Yeah, finishing my thought on Blake Harris, yeah, there was a couple of friends that brought up the fact that, hey, why didn't Blake Harris take over for the 19 instead of James Small? You know, I've been thinking about that lately as things begin to wind down the regular season. Obviously, he took the front row job position over there with Michael McDowell. Yeah, I kind of think about that. I mean, that's a mystery. I have no idea why. Blake Harris worked under Colburn as the lead engineer, I guess. I guess that's the word there.
Car chief?
Yeah, car chief. Yeah, that's it. That's it, car chief for the 19 for the last, 4 years? He was a part of that run where Martin won a championship and he finished second a jillion times in the championship for the last several years. So, yeah, I was kind of wondering about that. But, yep, we'll just have to see. Pocono, I don't know. I have no idea what's going to happen there. But, yeah, so we'll see what happens there. And Kevin Harvick, another big name, who is 68 back. That's a big name that has not won in forever. I don't know what his winless streak is now, but he's picked up the pace a little bit, but again, picking up the pace a little bit doesn't do you much at all. The biggest loser in that, you probably put both Harvick and Truex 1A and 1B. That makes any sense there. Kevin Harvick, another top 10. I don't know how many top 10s he has now in a row, but he's been rocking. He's been reeling them off, but showing a little bit more speed here and there. So you can say the same thing. Time for Kevin Harvick is running out, too.
Any other year, Kevin Harvick would be locked into the playoffs with the run that he's put on right now. This just isn't the year for that. We have so many different winners, like we've stated earlier in the show. It's such an odd occurrence. It's something we really haven't seen in a long time. I think, what were they saying? 2006 was the last time they had this many different winners. It was like 16 that year, 14 that year.
I think it was 2009.
They had 2009.
Yeah. 2009, I think, because I think Jordan Bianchi said that. Because I just listened to you yesterday. I finished up their latest episode, and I think Jordan said 2009.
Yeah. So, I mean, just think about that. Like, this isn't something that happens all the time. And Harvick, without the wins, he's still kind of having, like, one of those really good Harvick years. He, like I said, even though the wins aren't there, he has been good. And it's just not the year for that. You got to have wins this year in order to, you know, secure that chance.
You're listening to the Three Wide Podcast with EG3.
And then you have Ryan Blaney as well. He's, what, second in the point standings, and he doesn't have a win yet. Obviously, the All-Star race does not count, and I'm trying to get back to where... Where is Blaney? Okay, there he is. Okay, so right now, Ryan Blaney, no wins, 7 top 5s, and, yeah, 10 top 10s, 2 DNFs, and he has 5 stage wins there. Let's go to Truex here. 3 top 5s, 8 top 10s, 2 DNFs, 7 stage wins. He leads, MTJ leads the Cup Series in stage wins, but it doesn't have that win. Does not make any sense. Blaney has 5 stage wins, no wins. Harvick, 5 top 5s, 11 top 10 finishes, 11. That is, he's tied for the most. No, he's not. Never mind, I take that back. But 5 top 5s, 11 top 10s, 3 DNFs, and only 13 laps led. No stage points for Harvick yet. So, yeah, but interesting point is Ryan Blaney. Jeff and Jordan were making the point that it's possible that Ryan Blaney could miss the playoffs, and he's in top 3 in the original regular season standings. Crazy.
It is really nuts, because consistency seems to be key. It's kind of like the same as the Harvick situation. Blaney, without the wins, having another really solid year, second in the standings, and could potentially miss the playoffs if certain scenarios play out. And it's, I don't know if maybe you do a shakeup at the end. I'm not, like, in the long run, I can see a shakeup in the way that the point standings is done.
That's a good question there. I know, because Austin Cindric has that win, that Daytona 500 win. Joey Logano has 2 wins, Gateway and Darlington. And Ryan Blaney, obviously last year he had multiple wins last year, but this seems to be a Ryan Blaney trend here. You're fast every week and you can't close a deal.
Another guy who runs really well at plate races, though.
That's true. Daytona, yep, he'll be up. He'll be in the mix for sure. So he's got that. He does have a win at Pocono, but that was with the Wood Brothers going way back. I think it was rookie year he won that, if my memory is correct on that as well. He doesn't run well at Richmond. Let's see, trying to think of, you got 2 road courses, Watkins Glen, Indy road course, and another track that I'm missing here.
Was it Atlanta last year?
Atlanta.
Vegas, maybe?
Trying to think here. Don't have a schedule up. I'm on my other tab here. Gotta think on the fly here. Yeah, so let me see here. I'm gonna do some forward thinking. Schedule. Alright, so, okay, so he won Michigan. No, it's Michigan. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, okay. So he won at Michigan last year. So that's on the list. So Pocono this week, Indy World Course next week, Michigan, first weekend of August, Richmond to follow that, Watkins Glen, and then Daytona to end August. So it seems like, meaning to get off on an early tangent here, but it seems like the NASCAR schedule gets ended earlier and earlier now, the last, couple years. So, but... Daytona ending on the last weekend of August. So there you go on that. Yeah, so Blaney, Harvick has won at Michigan. Martin Truex has yet to win at Michigan. Last year we saw an upset. Well, I wouldn't call it an upset, but AJ Allmendinger won at Indy Road Course last year after the shenanigans by Chase Briscoe and Denny Hamlin. Last year, Richmond being put in the regular season and not the playoffs. And that's a day race. We saw a day race earlier this year. So there's that. Watkins Glen. That's going to be something there. The biggest question from these road courses, Joe Gibbs Racing has been awful in road courses. So that's why I put Martin must win there at Richmond. Because I don't think you're going to get much unless somehow Joe Gibbs Racing somehow steps it up. Only see that. And actually, I put Martin in the Michigan category as well. He runs well there, too.
If Joe Gibbs wasn't slumping so bad at road courses, I'd put Martin in there for Watkins Glen.
Yeah, me too, for sure. Watkins Glen, for sure, definitely. But yeah, since they've been struggling with this new car, yeah, that's a big question mark now. So, yeah, everything's up for grabs there. Let's see. Yeah, so that's the last six races. Pocono, Martin's won there before. Harvick's won before, I think. Might be wrong on that. So, yeah, I mean, try to do the math on these things going forward. But again, the new car has a lot to do with it. So, I don't know what's going to shake out with Pocono this weekend. We both said, other than the folks that have two wins and the people and the drivers, and the drivers that have one win that are further up than the ones that have other ones that have one win, they're not looking forward to this race.
No.
That's for sure. And also, you could probably, strategy is going to play a big factor in this, because now you have to throw haymakers because, you do not want to rely on Daytona. You do not want to put yourself in that position because obviously we know what's going to go down at Daytona, right? Big blocks, big moves, big ones, big wrecks. Yeah. So you don't want to put
10 cars running by the end of it.
Yeah. More five to 10 cars left in the race, something like that. Yeah. So, man, Pocono's going to be really interesting. All three series will take place this weekend. The Truck Series will be back in action following the Parker Kligerman win over Zane Smith 2 weeks ago. And you have the Xfinity Series back as well. That's going to be a doubleheader Saturday with the trucks in the Xfinity Series. The Xfinity Series saw Justin Allgaier and Junior Motorsports break the handle on the Toyotas in the Xfinity Series race. Justin Allgaier getting another win, and Junior Motorsports has been on top of things in 2022 in the Xfinity Series there, and I'll get to rivalries in a second. Speaking of rivalries there, Brad Keselowski, this is another name. We're over 40 minutes, and we have not mentioned Brad Keselowski. I think he's a threat in Daytona. I think he's getting overlooked.
Honestly, you just put every driver's number on a dartboard and just throw a dart. That's who your pick is for Daytona.
Yeah, or just put everybody's names.
There's a lot of guys that you wouldn't be surprised if they won there.
Yeah, or just write the names of these drivers and put them in a hat, pick them, and you got your winner. Yeah. So, Brad Keselowski and Austin Dillon had a little adventure last weekend there. Not a good weekend for the Dillon brothers. Obviously, Ty Dillon, I didn't mention this in the first half. Ty Dillon not coming back to Petty GMS. And I'm still trying to figure out the Richard Petty tweet. I guess he was not happy with something there.
So a couple things to this. One, I think I know who's going to take over the that ride for next year. Number two, I saw someone say that the Richard Petty tweets were a part of their new Hardy sponsorship. It's something to do with the commercial that he did or something like that. I don't know if that was true or not. I'm just repeating what I heard.
Yeah, I did not hear that. Interesting. Yeah, so Austin Dillon, from his episode with Brad Keselowski, finished 23rd there. Kozlowski finished 7th. And that's the first time alone.
Did we ever even get an answer as to what happened there between the two of them? Like, what started it?
I think they got an answer on the broadcast late. Trying to think of what it was there. I mean, yeah, I was puzzled myself when that happened there with, because Austin Dillon, I don't know, he started it all, I guess, whatnot. He was trying to do some kind of fake out on the 6. And then Kozlowski, I guess, took offense to that, whatnot. I did not catch the Kozlowski post-race interview there with Kim Coons. He spoke with her after the race there. So, I'm trying to put all the pieces together of what happened there. But, Kozlowski, this is like his first top 10 in like a long time for that team. That team has been getting outdid by the 17 team of Chris Buescher. That team ended up finishing... Let's see, Chris Buescher, where did he finish at? 17th, yeah, so that's big for that race team. Okay, so top 10, Bell, Elliott, Wallace, Truex, Harvick, your top 5, Denny Hamlin finished 6th, Kozlowski 7th, Ross Chastain 8th, Daniel Suarez 9th. That's, again, a track house. Is this the year of the track house? Daniel Suarez benefited from staying out there. He finished 9th. Ross Chastain had to fight his way to finish in the top 10. And Kurt Busch pitted late because he didn't have enough gas. And quickly and quietly moved his way into the 10th position. So 23-11 Racing, both cars finished in the top 10. Trackhouse Racing, the story of 2022, finishes in the both cars in the top 10. What do you think about the... Trackhouse Racing, because I thought going into the season, and maybe we talked about this last time as well, I thought they'll be kind of middle of the pack, to be honest with you. I thought they'd be middle of the pack, battling for top 15s, and then maybe in the second half of the year, try to get top 10s, and maybe one of them have a win as well. 23-11, trying to take steps forward as well. So what do you think about these two organizations going forward?
I think it's great. Naturally, I think it's great. I think you're a fool if you don't think it's great. But just the fact that Trackhouse turns around and in their second year of operation to bust off, what do they have, 3 wins right now?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. That's impressive for the modern-day NASCAR. Even 23-11, 2 wins in their first 2 seasons. Like, it's good for the diversity of the sport. You know, it's not the same 4 teams winning every single race anymore. It's really brought a bunch of parity to the sport. I thought last year, specifically speaking about Trackhouse, towards the end of the year, Suarez was showing speed. He was running up front a little bit more. I thought the addition of Ross was going to really elevate that team and in the preseason, and I've got to say, my prediction on that one was spot on.
Yeah.
Besides, you know, the extracurriculars he tries to do on track, but, you know, I'm looking past that on this one.
Yeah. Caution flags, 9 for 52 laps. The race time of the race, 3 hours and 14 minutes there. Truex winning both stages. End up finishing in a top 5 for another bad strategy call. Christian Bell winning his 2nd career NASCAR Cup Series race, which puts him in the playoffs there. 8 lead changes among 7 drivers in this race. Now we have 14 winners now. 2 spots open going to Pocono this weekend. Again, all 3 series will be in action this weekend, starting on Saturday with the K-World Truck Series first. And as soon as that wraps up, it'll be the Xfinity Series. So the Truck Series first, and then the Xfinity Series will follow shortly after. And of course, Sunday is the big show there on Sunday with the Pocono Cup Series race. 3 Eastern Time, 2 Central Time, USA, MRN will have coverage of that. If you can't catch it on USA Network, MRN will have coverage of it this weekend on the Cup side of stuff. And we kind of went over who's won there in the past. It's kind of non-relevant now with this new car here. Pocono, three different turns, obviously. It'll be interesting to see how this car reacts to this as well. Yeah, you just don't know what's going to happen moving forward. It'll be interesting. Pocono, we'll see what happens here. Are we going to get a repeat winner? Or will strategy play out and someone out of the woodworks will get their first win, or somebody outside the cut line will stun everybody and get that win. So make things even more spicy in the standings for sure. I said on the podcast last, going back to the episode 303, which was last week's podcast. If you haven't checked it out, please do that. That I said that somebody that doesn't have a win yet will win, and that's what happened. Christopher Bell stepped to the plate in the fourth quarter and delivered there. So he's in the postseason, which leaves the big dogs, Blaney, Truex, Harvick, and others looking for that elusive win. So, yeah, Pocono is kind of a wild card a little bit, in my opinion, the way I see it with these cars anyways.
For sure. I mean, a lot of these tracks we're going to now, we've already been to once this season, and Pocono with only having one date, and it's the only triangular-shaped track on the circuit. This is going to be interesting this weekend.
Yeah, it really is. Again, the word strategy is going to come into play here. Now you're going to start seeing guys, crew chiefs, throw the gauntlet and try to get in this thing. So you gotta have speed, but the other part of it, you're gonna have some little luck on your side. Truex does not have that luck right now, that's for sure.
Don't feel good about you guys on a late race pit stop.
No,
right now.
No. That's an automatic. Yeah, that's an automatic bad decision. as far as I know. A lot of people are calling for James Small's head on a platter. On my Twitter feed. It's rough. So. Anyways, Xfinity, I talked about Junior Motorsports. They've been on a roll this season. Everyone's got a win except Sam Mayer. Sam Mayer's been consistent all year long. But Junior Motorsports, Justin Allgaier continues to rein in wins year in, year out. Josh Berry, impressive in his second season in the Xfinity Series. What are your thoughts on the Xfinity Series season so far to this point?
It's been really JRM dominant as of late. I still hold a lot of stock on Ty Gibbs. I'll get a little off track in my head right now about it, because there's a couple different points I want to make here. The first point, Ty Gibbs, keep that man in the Xfinity series. give him another year under his belt, because I don't know any race that man can't win at, especially if you like starting week one next season. Junior Motorsports has been dominant, more specifically the 7, the 9. They're kind of coming into this realm right now of what college was for the last couple of years, where it's a solid team front to back. It doesn't matter which car, one of them's going to dominate every week. Just the racing on the Xfinity side has been so good this year. Mm-hmm. So good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ty Gibbs up there. According to the projected playoff standings, he would be the number one seed. Right now, he had a chance to win that New Hampshire race if brakes issue did not cuff him. He had a chance to win that as well. So, Ty Gibbs, let's see, four wins this year. That leads the Xfinity Series. Justin Allgaier now has the second most with 3. Then you have a handful with 2, including Noah Gregson, Josh Berry, Austin Hill, and A.J. Allmendinger, and then Brandon Jones in the rest of the field. So Brandon Jones got the win at Martinsville, Austin Hill, Daytona, and Atlanta. Josh Berry got the win, one of his wins, came at Charlotte. Yeah, Charlotte, and I can't think of the other one he won at. Well, Noah Gregson won earlier this year at Phoenix in another track that I can't think of right now. But yeah, yeah. So, and it continues to baffle me. I keep going back to this driver. As we got a few more minutes here on tonight's episode 304 of the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3, Eddie Greer III, AJ from the One Lug TV YouTube channel, joining me once again, Daniel Hemric, right? Won a championship last year, moved over to Collier Racing, and stats goes as follows: 2 top 5s, 7 top 10s, in a whopping, and I'm trying to look down here, 4 DNFs, and then he only has 53 laps led. Obviously, he showed his displeasure with the 9 last weekend. Chris Rice in that colleague program, Chris Rice said they're struggling to find speed there. And Daniel Hemric, and let's not forget, I think a lot of people forget that this guy won a championship last year over Austin Cindric last year. And Daniel Hemric has yet to break through to victory lane yet again here in 2022.
Maybe he just needs a race for a championship every week.
Yeah, or something's got to go on.
It's just like if the stage isn't big enough for him.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on, but obviously he is in the feud with Noah. Resumed his feud with Noah Gregson last weekend there. So yeah, I don't know where his mind is at right now. He'll be in the playoffs, but how much a factor he's going to be, I have no idea. He's a defending Xfinity Series champion. I honestly don't know. I don't think he's going to be much of a factor in these playoffs once the Xfinity Series gets there. The way it's looking like anyways right now. He'll be lucky to get to the Fast 8. Yeah, that's kind of a puzzling thing there. Riley Herbst, he's been more consistent this year. 12 top 10s, 5 top 5s. Yes, he doesn't have a win yet, but I think the same thing, like you compare him a little bit. Daniel Suarez showed a lot of speed in the second half of last year. Ryan Herbst did the same thing. Yes, he had a trouble first half of the year. We're making fun of him. But all of a sudden, he's got his head on straight and started to run better. And this year, he's starting to really put together 12 top 10s. That's more than Daniel Hemric. That's more than Austin Hill. More than Josh Berry. And it's more than Ty Gibbs, believe it or not. So he just doesn't have a win yet there. And remember, a couple years ago, Chase Briscoe won like 9 races in this car. So Ryan Herbst coming a long way there.
Gotta say, I've been thoroughly impressed with him. In fact, watching the Xfinity race last weekend, they kept showing him a couple times on the screen during the broadcast. And I sat here and said, man, he really hasn't been making news on the racetrack, which negatively is how I'm referring to that. And I've got to say, I've been impressed. I've been impressed with him this year.
Me too. He's shown a lot of progress there. So we'll see if he can keep on as we say, top 10 of them to death. We'll see what he does at Pocono on Saturday. Real quick here, K-World Truck Series. If the Plus were to start today, Zane Smith will be your number 1 seed. And then you have the defending champion, Ben Rhodes, will be the 2nd seed in there. Johan Nemechek, quiet year. Only that 1 win this year for him. Chandler Smith, Stuart Friesen, and Parker Kligerman has a win now. Obviously, I mentioned that earlier in the show tonight. Parker Kligerman over Zane Smith at Mid-Ohio. That 75 team, I think that team should have a full-time ride. I know I've said this once on this podcast. They have had speed every time he's been in that truck. So that's just my 2 cents there on that. Ty Majeski, it's a matter of time for him. He's been very consistent as well. And let's not forget, you got that name, Corey Heim. 2 wins this year for that 51. Also part of that KBM stable as well there. AJ, quickly, what are your thoughts so far to this point for the Truck Series?
Is this the season that Zane Smith gets that championship? He's been there, like, twice now, I think back-to-back years he's made the Final Four. Am I right on that one?
Yep, that's right, yep.
Is this the year he can get the championship?
Yeah, two times. Last year he was in position, and then Ben Rhodes knocked him out of the way. It was for, third or fourth there. It was not for the race win. They're bound for position there. Zane Smith was in position all night long, and then Ben Rhodes took it away. And then go back the year before that. He was in the lead, and things changed in on him then. So, yeah, Zane Smith has that experience, that heartbreak. Yeah, can he break through? Three wins, obviously, another good season. But, again, got to get back to that spot, that championship four, and try to finally get that elusive championship you've been chasing the last couple of years as well. So, any surprises for you out of this bunch so far? You have any surprises that surprised you so far?
For all three series or just Truck Series?
Truck Series.
Truck Series, the talent fall off after you get out of the top 10. you get your top 10 drivers, and then it's like, the Truck Series for me, it's in a really tough spot, because 2 years ago, second best series in NASCAR, and I'm going to include ARCA into that as a four series league.
All right.
So 2 years ago, I'd call the Truck Series probably second in entertainment value. And now it's just like, I mean, it's essentially exactly what you saw at Bowman Gray this past weekend. You get out of the top 10, top 15, and that is all it is. It is hard to watch sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love to see the ratio of green flag laps to caution laps during their races. I really would.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I have to agree on that. Yeah, definitely the talent level is kind of down, definitely. And I think Haley Deegan, who was recently on DBC on the last episode, not this one, but the last one, talked about a little bit when we get back in the back, battling for 16, 17th position. Guys drive like knuckleheads. Let's put it back that way.
As well. And she's not wrong.
No, she's not.
And I feel bad for her because, you know she can drive.
Yeah,
just,
yeah.
She's stuck back with the idiots.
Yeah. She called out the 91, Kobe Howard, a few times in that episode. So... Yeah, it's kind of the lack of talent in the Truck Series. Yeah, you still have your old veterans in there. Matt Crafton's been there for a long time. Grant Infinger's been there for quite a bit now. Let's see, going down here. Stuart Friesen's been in this Truck Series for quite a bit now. Yeah, I mean, go down here. We haven't heard, obviously, Tyler Ankrum. Matt DiBenedetto's been shut off in a box somewhere.
Oh, man. That's like a great rise and fall episode. Matt DiBenedetto. The fall, the rise, and the fall again.
Oh, man, yeah. So, yeah, the talent, yeah, man, it's a struggle. You don't have a good truck, yeah, you're going to be in a dogfight most likely for the rest of the race. But yeah, the funny thing about the funny cautions that we've seen, that's all you need to know. So, but woo, all three divisions will be in action this weekend. Pocono, it's going to be interesting on all three divisions. See what happens there. Obviously, the big one, the Cup Series, that's going to be the big question mark there with the new car. everything else about it is another episode. Which card is going to play out for some of those superstars come Sunday? It's going to be interesting. AJ, any last thoughts? What you been up to lately? And got any last thoughts on this episode tonight?
There was one part in the Cup Series. Prize for the Cup Series.
Go ahead, share.
The championship slump going on for Kyle Larson. I mean, I know that you look at his finishes, you go, no, he's all right, he's good. Last year at this time, he had what, 5 wins?
Four or five wins, I think. I know he won, I want to say 4 or 5 wins at this point of the year last year.
Yeah, that fall off to me has been incredible, and I don't think it's getting enough discussion.
Wow, good point. Glad you brought that up. Woo! Larson up in the top 10 most of the day, and then he went straight out of the top 10 last run. So, yeah, that's a good point. You brought that up. Yeah, very quiet. Only
now,
go ahead.
Now I will say, don't buy any stock to the recent weeks, just because I do believe. Cliff Daniels been suspended the last couple
of years.
But just even before that, it's just, what has happened?
I don't know. Maybe the 5-9 switched. I don't know.
Hey, I won't be complaining.
maybe they switched. Maybe they switched cars. I don't know. But yeah, Kyle Larson, yeah, I mean, yeah, he's still solid. I mean, 8 top 5s, top 10 top 10s. Yes, the wins are down. He had 10 wins last year, obviously, in the championship year. He only has one this year. Four DNFs.
What's the last lead comparison?
I can't remember last year. I know this. I have only this year's stats up here. He's led so far up to recording this podcast, right? 273 laps led. Kyle Larson, the 5 car. He probably had more. He had probably had double that, triple that, because he at least led almost every race.
Kyle Larson, I got the stat here for you. Okay. He led 2,581 laps in 2021.
Ooh.
And how many has he led this year? You said
273.
Well, he ain't making up 2,000 laps.
No, he's not. He's definitely not getting there. Heck no. He's not going to get that.
So that's why I said it doesn't get much discussion, but there is a definite championship slump going on there.
Yeah, and he has more DNFs than wins this year.
That's nuts.
Four to one, the ratio right now.
I didn't even think about the DNF factor
in
that. No, you're not wrong there.
Yeah, so I had to do a double take after Sunday's race there, look at the standings and whatnot, and like, Kyle Larson, 4 DNFs? Damn. That ties in with Denny Hamlin. He got 4. And Tyler Reddick. Kurt Busch has 4 DNFs. Alex, speaking of somebody going the wrong direction, Alex Bowman. Woof.
Don't get me started, because don't you forget that was the number 2 driver in Hendrick next to Kyle Larson earlier in the year.
He was.
Big discussion was. Don't think I forgot about that.
He was. I don't know what happened to this team. Qualified terrible at New Hampshire, and he was like the first one out. Got in that mess with a couple of those back marker cars and another car that I can't remember. 4 DNFs. He was only at 18 laps led, but still has that one win.
luckiest guy on a good team.
Luckiest guy that puts himself in position to win and yet takes advantage of it. I'm telling you, luckiest guy in the Cup Series, I'm telling you. But that's a whole nother discussion.
Luckiest guy on a good team.
Yeah, that's a whole other discussion I can go on and rant on. But yeah, that's another guy that's been going down in the wrong direction as well. And Denny Hamlin, one last thought, and then before we wrap this up. Yeah, Denny Hamlin, the guys were talking about on the teardown. That one at Charlotte was huge for Denny Hamlin, right? Because he doesn't get that win. I just mentioned he has that 4 DNFs, 3 top 5s, 5 top 10s. Let me repeat myself. Only 5 top 10s for Denny Hamlin. 2
hey,
wins.
Where is he in the actual play? The actual driver standing, not playoff, driver standing.
I'm trying. I need to go. I'm going to pull up right now. I'm going to do that right now. Let's see.
Because this could be a real telltale of, like, you know, how lucky that win was.
Because I know they're talking about it, because without that win, he would be, like, in a probably fighting probably even more worried so here. I'm trying to pull. I know they got to put driver point standing. Here we go. All right, so let's see. There we go. All right, so let's see. Denny Hamlin. All right, so right now, I mentioned Chase Briscoe was the last one, right? Had that one win. If Denny Hamlin does not have that extra win, he would be the guy I'd be worried about. 19th in the standings right now.
Wow. I mean, it's not so much on a thought on Denny Hamlin as it is just Joe Gibbs is in such a down year.
Yeah, Kyle Busch's struggling too. Yeah, yep. He has the one win, but he's been kind of up and down as well. So, yeah. Truex's been struggling.
Kyle Busch is in a must win, isn't he?
Kyle,
oh, no, he's got the win.
No, Kyle Busch got that win. Kyle Busch walked in to win at Bristol Dirt. Because Reddick.
Yeah, if Reddick and Briscoe don't wreck there.
Yeah, if they don't wreck there, Kyle Busch will be in a similar spot as Martin Truex. So, yeah, I mean, he walked into that. Because Chase Briscoe sent it in there and took Tyler Reddick out. And then Kyle Busch just swept by everybody to get that win. Yeah, it's been an up and down year for Joe Gibbs Racing. So, yeah, this is a whole nother different conversation here. If Kyle Busch doesn't get that win at Bristol Dirt, who knows? We might be talking about him being on the bubble instead of Martin Truex, but Truex is on the bubble instead. Yeah, it's only going to get weirder. I just got a weird feeling. Oh, man, it's must-see TV. It's just must-see TV, and Jeff Gluck was spot on. I mean, this might be the only year that we're going to see this because, you know, we're going to have these teams work on this car a little bit in the offseason. They brought that up a little bit. So, I mean, we don't obviously a long way to go still in the rest of the season in the playoffs, but this might be the only time we see it. I mean, it definitely trending that way. So, who knows what's going to happen at Pocono? We'll find out for sure. Oh, man. AJ, any plans this weekend? And where can... Oh, yeah. Also, if it ever gets off the ground, tell us a little bit about your latest... trying your new adventure, hopefully. And what are you going to be up to this weekend?
So, like, we rebranded. Ryan and I mutually just decided that we were going to go a little bit of a different route. It was tough to keep going with a weekly episode podcast. So I brought in the idea of me kind of branching off the podcast and just calling it One Lug TV. And I said, you know, later on down the road, we can do race recaps and stuff like that over on our YouTube channel. But it felt wrong to broadcast ourselves as a podcast when we really weren't making one anymore. So One Lug TV was born. I collaborated with a couple different people on, you know, names and ideas for it and all that stuff. It's worked out, I think, pretty well because it's kind of given me a more broad range that I can talk about and not be just tied to one thing. So we're at One Lug TV on Twitter, and eventually, once I can finally get above water with work, I would like to start doing some different bits of content on YouTube and things of that nature and really start to expand a little bit.
Yeah, that'd be nice to see. That'd be nice to see. But yes, we all got that thing called work going on right now. And definitely things are heating up in the workplace. And definitely things are heating up on the racetrack. So with Pocono on Sunday, 3 Eastern time, 2 o'clock Central time on USA. Ladies and gentlemen, that is going to wrap things up for another edition of 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3 tonight on this Wednesday, July 20th, 2022, episode 304 of this podcast. Eddie Greer, AJ from the One Lug TV YouTube channel there. Appreciate you guys for listening this evening. Enjoy the races this weekend. AJ, enjoy the rest of your week. Again, thank you. I think you lead the special guest area in appearances now on this podcast now. If I went back and counted how many times you've been on the show. But I appreciate you, as always, for making time to come on the show. And we'll see what happens, my friend.
Thank you for having me, Eddie. It's always a pleasure to be on here. And like I said, I want you to introduce me into any room I walk into.
That sounds like a plan. Sounds like a plan to me.
iHeartRadio, and more. We'll talk to you next time, going 3 wide.